Brother Eric John Phelps welcoming you to the broadcast today here at 24/7 World Radio on this Friday, October the 13th, 2023. Friday the 13th, the day back in 1312, the Knights Templars were suppressed by the Pope. Pope Clement V with a papal bull, Vox in Excelsis. The Knights Templars were suppressed for the purposes of stopping, I believe the Lord used the Pope, one of the devil's servants, to stop the further aggrandizement of world power by the Knights Templars, world financial power, world political power. And these Knights Templars were accused of sodomy, heresy, and usury. And those were the three charges by which they were suppressed by the Pope and Philip the Fair of France, and then they burned the Grand Master Jacques de Molay at the stake along with many other Templars. So this was done on Friday the 13th, and hence Friday the 13th has been kept up into modern civilization so that there's no hotel with a 13th floor. Friday the 13th, a big superstitious day, when it's a day of rejoicing for me and other Bible-believing, born-again, literalist, biblicist, Calvinistic in resisting evil, men like myself, that the Lord used, divided the camp of the devil and had the Templars suppressed until they were revived in 1534 by Don Ignatius Loyola, an Aragon Templar, and hence the revival of the Knights Templars in the order known as the Company or the Society of Jesus, first known as the Knights of the Virgin Mary, and then changed their name to the Order of the New Templars, and finally to the Society of Jesus, which we call them today, the Jesuit Order, the military company of the Society of Jesus. Now, these Jesuits are masters in fomenting agitations in nations, to the end that these nations might be changed to their desires. And it's all for the destruction of the historic white-raced Anglo-Saxon Celtic Protestant Reformation that began in 1517 with Martin Luther, and politically it began in 1648 with the end of the Pope's Dark Ages and with the dawn of the modern era. When nations began to be sovereign, they would have their own gold and silver coin, they would have their own lands, they would have their own languages and borders, and particularly the white Protestant nations were the ones that so prospered. The Netherlands, England, Scotland, portion of France when they had their wonderful Huguenots there, till the Pope drove them out in 1685. The United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all these historic white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Baptist nations bringing to the world the greatest inventions in world history and the highest civilizations and the best farmers and the best music. Nobody has out-composed us in our musical scores, in our music of reverence and worship to the one true God. Nothing is like it ever in history. And so the Jesuits, with their Counter-Reformation, want to destroy it all. Well, the last bastion of this particular wonderful Western civilization here in the United States of America is being quickly and cautiously and tenaciously brought down by the Jesuit order day after day after day. It's a military enterprise. And they're intending to bring down this last bastion of liberty. And we can call it the Titanic. The Grecian Olympians, the Jesuits, are bringing down Titanic, which is Western civilization. So, to do this, the Jesuit order has to have soldiers in every walk of life, in banking, in politics, in religion, in the military, in the churches, in all the religions for that matter. And as they control every facet of these things, within the permission of the risen Son of God, I will add, because all authority has been given to the risen Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth, and Satan can make no more progress than what the Lord permits. As the Lord's mystery of godliness progresses, and the elect are being saved during this fullness of the Gentiles. So as the Jesuits are busy with their Counter-Reformation, they foment treason. Remember, God established the nations. He, in Genesis chapter 10, he established the races in Genesis chapter 9 with Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. And these are the three primary races. These races of people were then given nations in Genesis 10. And Genesis 10 shows you the descendants of Shem, of Ham, and of Japheth, and where they set off to dwell in certain lands after the flood, after the Noahian flood. But because they sought to regather themselves and to not separate as God ordained them to be separated by race and boundaries of certain lands, because in the days of Peleg was the earth divided, the earth used to be one landmass. And of course, the earth is not a globe, it is a plane. It is never a globe. The Jesuits are masters of the globe religion, that the earth is a globe religion. And if you want to read an authoritative book on this, you must read David Wardlow Scott's Terra Firma, among some others, but I believe that was the best. And so the Jesuits are busy creating their world government as Satan sought to do after the flood, when all the peoples of the flat earth came together in a plain called the Plain of Shinar, and there, under Nimrod, built a tower, because we're all going to unite against God. Remember, race mixing, race uniting is always anti-God. Racial separation is always pro-God, pro-His principles. Hence, nations composed of people of a certain race and language and culture within a geographic boundary. That is a nation. God established the nations. And in establishing the nations, He also established, to preserve those nations, patriotism. That a man would love his nation. That a man would love his people. His geographic boundaries, that a man would love the language that he's been gifted to learn when he was born and his parents taught him the language of their country. Hence, we see that God has established nations known by their race, by their language, by their culture, by their geographic borders. And to further separate the nations, in Genesis 10:25, in the days of Peleg was the earth divided. Because Peleg means divided. And so God divided the one land mass into seven continents to further separate mankind. But what's the Pope called? He's called the Pontifex Maximus, the builder of bridges. The Pope wants to unite all these continents and peoples that God separated so we can be distinct nations. The devil wants to unite the nations. God wants them separate. And so, to unite the nations, and that's that horrible, terrible organization called United Nations, set up by the Jesuits through their Rockefeller dynasty here, because John D. Rockefeller patterned his Standard Oil Company after the Jesuit order, and you can read this in a book titled The Career of John D. Rockefeller, written in 1912. And so the Jesuits, with their United Nations and League of Nations and all this unification of the nations so we can avoid war, which is the bait. Nations don't cause war. It's conspirators within nations that cause war between nations. That's how wars happen. People are just busy working, having their children, seeking to have some sort of a life, have food to eat, roof over their head. They're not concerned about going to war with their neighbor. That's all for the politicians. That's all for the men in charge. And the men in charge are secret society members. And those take orders from ultimately their masters in Rome to foment wars. So We read, as far as one of the ways for the devil to destroy the nations is by way of treason. That's when a man of a certain nation betrays his nation into the hands of an enemy by giving the enemy secrets or money or whatever it might be. But this is treason. It's called high treason. And high treason carries with it one sentence, and that's the sentence of death. No jail, only death. And so we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this, that in the last days, which has to do with the 70th week of Daniel, and know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And there will be these kinds of people now during this dispensation of grace, that we will see them to be this way, and we're to turn away from them, because this has to do with the last days, which is the 70th week of Daniel, specifically the last half. But there will be these kinds of people now during this age of present evil age, Galatians 1:4, during which the church, the body of Christ, exists, and there will be traitors now. There have been traitors now. And so treason is a sin. Treason, high treason, is a sin against God. The men who killed Kennedy, all in the government, connected with the government, overseen by Francis Cardinal Spellman, as I show in my book, Vatican Assassins, all committed high treason. Walter Cronkite, high treason. William F. Buckley, high treason, Knight of Malta. Lee Iacocca, Knight of Malta, high treason. Fixed the limousine up, sir, with no evidence of primary strikes, bullets, or at least 17 strikes in that vehicle. So, oh no, all these men involved, Richard Nixon, Richard Milhouse Nixon, the Quaker, another traitor. Tip O'Neill, another traitor. The list goes on and on. John McCone, the head of the CIA. Alan Dulles, the former head of the CIA. All of them traitors. Earl Warren with his Warren Commission. All traitors. And then it goes on. Not just the Kennedy assassination, but it's going to be high treason against the American people by letting all these aliens in here who are not immigrants. They are invaders. They are invaders. Do you realize that Ronald Reagan in 1984 gave a total amnesty to all the invaders that came into this country, the Hispanics, the Asians, the blacks out of Africa, gave a total amnesty to all these people? And we white men are so stupid as to think that Reagan was on our side, that he was going to make America great again, because that's the little phrase he used, make America great again. That's not new with Trump. That was Reagan who started that stuff. And the end of the fake end of the Cold War, when the USSR and the United States worked together for the entire duration of the Cold War. So that means you got traitors in Russia, you got traitors in America. And who are they busy serving? The Pope of Rome, the greatest designer of making a world government and all the nations subject to himself, which will ultimately be the final pope, the subject to the Antichrist. There is no world government. There is no end of days whereby the nations are united under the papacy, under the Antichrist, without treason. Treason. And there were many traitors of history known in the past. You have the Battle of Thermopylae, where the Greeks, 300 Greeks, kept out several thousand Persians from overrunning the pass. And those great Spartan soldiers were keeping them out until one traitor betrayed them. They were overrun by the Persians, and hence that was the end of the great Battle of Thermopylae. Treason. Traitors. There's been other traitors too, like Dwight D. Eisenhower and Marshall, General Marshall, who facilitated the loss of World War II, when General Patton could have closed the Falaise Pocket in France in 1944, right after D-Day, and 10 days later he writes his wife and says, "The Germans will have to surrender because we have them surrounded here in France at Falaise," and it was known as the Falaise Pocket. And so Patton went to Eisenhower and requested that he would enable to either annihilate the Germans in the Falaise Pocket or have them surrender. And to do that, Patton had to close the pocket. Other than that, if it wasn't closed, then the German army could escape. I should say the Nazi army could escape. You know what Eisenhower did? Eisenhower refused to give the order to Patton to close the Falaise Pocket, so that some 300,000 or so German soldiers could escape, and only some 50,000 were taken captive. Patton was outraged over the treason of Eisenhower. And you know where those German soldiers wound up at? They wound up at Bastogne, the Battle of the Bulge, so they could kill more American soldiers due to the high treason of Eisenhower, allowing them to escape the Falaise Pocket. Eisenhower was a traitor, and he should have personally been hung for his high treason. But oh no, because he's such a great traitor and serving the papacy, Francis Cardinal Spellman will make him President of the United States in 1953. Truman is president in 50. That's why that traitor is going to be involved in the Korean War. And Truman will send the American fleet to block Chiang Kai-shek from invading China, so that we'll get rid of Mao, Jesuit Mao Zedong, so that would release a million troops into Korea to fight and kill American troops during the Korean War. The John Birch Society covered this very clearly. Eisenhower was a traitor, a dirty, filthy, white devil traitor, and also a Knight of Malta, according to one of my intelligence contacts. It was an American Air Force intelligence in Egypt. His name was John. This country is full of traitors. And you had the tremendous traitor who betrayed George Washington. He was a great Presbyterian leader. He won the battle of, what was it? Escapes me right now. But he became a traitor to George Washington. And when George Washington found out he had betrayed, George Washington cried. It was that horrible traitor that would go on to leave the country, and that was none other than the traitor, a Presbyterian too. He was one of George Washington's greatest generals, won one of the most important battles in world history. His name and the battle escaping right now. Isn't that horrible? So we have traitors everywhere. Everywhere. And traitors are remembered for their treason. We have Judas. He's a traitor. He betrays the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because he's a Jew, but because he's a traitor. So treason always kills somebody. Always. You have the Office of Naval Intelligence betraying American sailors at the attack of Pearl Harbor when they actually put detonators in the USS Arizona. So when the Japs flew over and dropped some of their bombs, they detonated the Arizona, blew it out of the water. All treason, high treason. You have the book by Stennett, Day of Deceit, showing that Pearl Harbor was set up by the Office of Naval Intelligence in conjunction with the Japanese High Command, all high treason, to kill American soldiers who thinking they're fighting for their country, just like the Israeli soldiers killed recently in the attack by Hamas out of Gaza. They were sacrificed by their intelligence community to justify a war, just like the American soldiers were sacrificed in Pearl Harbor to justify a war to be waged for the Jesuit order. Benedict Arnold, Benedict Arnold was a traitor to George Washington. And when Washington found out that he had betrayed him, he cried. Traitors, those who betray you, those who stab you in the back, hurt you dearly, especially those that are close to you, just as Judas did to Christ, just as Benedict Arnold did to George Washington. Treason is always a heartbreak, but it's always ultimately resulting in somebody being set back, losing something, or even his life for that matter. That's why the only punishment for political treason is death. And it's not by shooting. Shooting is an honorable death. It's by hanging. You hang them so they can defecate and urinate all over themselves. Put them to shame. That's what they did to the Nazis in Nuremberg and other places. They didn't shoot them, they hung them. Treason is a sin. And whenever treason is committed by men like Benedict Arnold or others, the charge, the result should be death by hanging. So we read here. Verse 4. Notable in the last days that would be yet to come, but that we would also have these kinds of things now during the church. We have traitors. Traitors. A traitor is not a nationalist. Anybody who's not a nationalist is a traitor. Internationalists are traitors. You have to betray to impose internationalism. Barry Davis Obama is an internationalist traitor. That's right, my black friends, he betrayed you in and out. He laughs at you, thinking you're so stupid that because he's a mulatto, he's half black, why then you all should back him and hope for him and try to help him. And he betrayed you every day and every way. Why wouldn't he? He was trained by Jesuits, particularly Greg Galuzzo out of Chicago. The Jesuits hate you blacks. They laugh at you. They can't wait to kill you here in North America. And when the Jesuits have their new right Roman Catholics out in the streets with guns, they're going to show you just how much they hate you, black man. They're going to be no mercy. But then again, most of you will deserve it because of all the sins and the crimes and the rapes and the robberies. 10 murders a day, 100 rapes a day of white women, all for the last 60 years or so. You're going to deserve it. Men reap what they sow, and they oftentimes reap at the hands of men who are worse than they are. The Babylonians came in and persecuted the Jews, did away with their country, and the Babylonians were worse than the Jews in their sins. However, God chose evil men to punish other evil men. He does it all the time. So we have traitors. Well, I want to tell you about the high treason now going on at the border. First of all, the wonderful and glorious white, raced, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant and Baptist, English-speaking people who wrote up the Constitution, which is the greatest political document ever written in my idea, in my mind, as far as limiting powers and dividing powers. And it's based upon the greatest political treatise ever written, which is called The Federalist. If you haven't read it, you are not lettered. You are not really educated if you haven't read The Federalist as an American. In that Constitution, it tells us that the president shall have the power to suppress an insurrection or repel an invasion. Suppress an insurrection or repel an invasion. What's going on at the border since the days of Ronald Reagan, which is what, for the last nearly 40 years, is a massive invasion. It's also called the Aslan movement. The Hispanics in the South, in Mexico, Central, South America coming up and seeking to take back Arizona and New Mexico and California and a part of Texas for Mexico. It's the Jesuit agitation of the Hispanics against the whites of North Americana so they can come here and take back land they think belongs to them. It's an attack by foreign soldiers, white people. It's an invasion. It is not an immigration. And anybody who talks to you about the illegal immigration is a bold-faced liar. It is not an illegal immigration. It is a lawless, vicious invasion. These savages hate us. And it's not just Hispanics. There's a whole lot of Chinese coming in. There's a whole lot of blacks coming in out of Africa. And other Hispanics coming in out of Central and South America, all of these uniting their hatred towards us. They hate the white men of America. They hate the white men of Canada. And they can't wait to bring us down as the perfect stooges and tools of the Jesuit order to bring down the white race peoples of North America that are the offspring of those who founded this wonderful place called Western civilization. The Jesuits don't have to bring a foreign army in there. They just bring all these foreign invaders in here in the form of an army, and many of them are young and of military age and absolutely nefarious. Just keep bringing them in. Keep bringing them in. Meanwhile, they want to keep you entertained with the newest movie out of Hollywood that the Jesuits control, and so you can watch the new movies, or you can listen to the new rap music, or just carry on in your fantasy land like good little children that you are, because children always need toys, and children need to be entertained, and they don't want to have any true concern about what might happen to them, and they always want to have something to eat and a place to sleep. That's right. And then you're going to put them on the drugs of pornography and the drugs of over-drinking alcohol and the drugs of dope. So they can be busy doing that. And of course, we can have plenty of fornication. And with fornication, then we can have all these unwanted pregnancies so that we can justify abortion everywhere and be shedding innocent blood. Fornicating and shedding innocent blood all the time. Man, further pursuing homosexuality and sodomy and all that sin. Now it's the sex change where these pervert doctors actually come in and cut off a woman's breasts. Can you imagine that? I mean, that takes a stone cold heart to cut off a woman's breast. Those beautiful breasts that God has put on women, to cut them off so they won't get cancer of the breast. Listen, you want to not get cancer, you just got to kill down your parasites, you got to kill down your fungus. That's right. There are parasites that are not good for you, and there are parasites that are made in your body that are good for you. You got to distinguish between them both. There are viruses that are good for you that your body makes, and there are foreign viruses that are bad for you and that you should not want to have in there, and that you need to kill them or destroy them. And so we have a complete conspiracy in the medical profession to cut, burn, and drug, to beat you down. We got a conspiracy in the legal profession to beat you down. We're gonna outlaw common law here. Common law marriage, we don't recognize it anymore. And there was common law here long before Roman civil law. But it's part of the conspiracy of the Jesuits to brainwash the legal profession to shove Nimrod's Roman civil law down our throat. Caesar's Roman civil law, where everything's a privilege, and you're just a subject. You're just a boy. You're just a enemy belligerent boy living in an occupied territory, boy, and we don't got to tell you the truth. We give you plenty of entertainment, plenty of drugs, plenty of toxic food, so you get cancer by the time you're 60 or whatever, so you can die and not collect a penny of socialist, communist insecurity. We got a real system going here for you. We hate your guts, Americans. And because we hate you, as the Jesuits are saying at the top, we're bringing in those that hate you too. And they are Roman, Catholic, Hispanics, Muslims, Chinese, communists, bringing them all in here to kill you. They want to kill you. And apparently we deserve it because of our sins and because of our national sins that we've committed for the last 60, 70 years, 90 years since we had this filthy emergency war powers military government in Washington, district of Catholics, district of criminals, district of communists. And so in bringing all of this in as a national judgment against us for waging war around the world for the benefit of the Pope. And I was not stationed in Germany for the benefit of America. I was stationed in Germany for the benefit of the Pope and the keeping down of the German people so they can never come back again. So what we have is treason as a matter of foreign and domestic policy every day of this emergency war powers military government, and it doesn't matter who the president is, whether he's a Democrat or whether he's a Republican. God deliver us. Are we still so deceived into thinking that the Democrats and the Republicans are different parties going after different things? I love what George Wallace said about him. He said, Wallace, even though he was a Southern Freemason, he did some right things. George Wallace said, there's not a dime bit of difference between the Republicans and the Democratic Party. And he said, and all them bringing their suitcases in and down into Washington to the Capitol building, he says, I'm convinced all they have is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in their briefcases. He's probably right. But because he told the truth, the CIA is going to shoot him, and they're going to cripple him for the rest of his life. Yeah. Because he didn't want to have integration of Alabama in the schools. And that's the right of Alabama. If that's what they want, that's what they should have. But I'll tell you what, blacks didn't want to integrate. I grew up in the 60s. They didn't want to come to my white school. And whites didn't want to go to their black school, like Kennedy High and Harry Ells and these other schools. We wanted racial separation. That's when the races excel. You race mix them, everything goes to hell in a handbasket. Can't even write cursive anymore. While the black boys are busy wanting to fornicate with every white girl they can find. That's right. That's right. I said it. Or like Jesse Lee Peterson, that black guy said, yeah, the white people build the cities and the black people destroy them. So with that reality, let's force race mix them so we can destroy the white cities. And that's exactly what's happened in America and in any other country where you have forced miscegenation of whites with blacks. Contrary to God's word in Genesis chapter 10, the separation of the nations, the races, the languages, and the peoples into different countries. And so, the high traitors, the treasons, force all this mixing, force all this miscegenation. Why do you think they gave the blacks all this money to have their illegal bastard babies? Huh? Why do you think? Why do you think 70-75% of blacks born don't have any daddies? Nobody's married. Why do you think that? Because the military government has facilitated that, enabled that by giving these black women $1,500 a month for their little bastards they're going to give birth to. So they can raise them with totally being lawless, hate white people, and commit crime everywhere they go. So one out of three black men are either on parole or probation or in prison. That's what the military-industrial complex wants. They want that. Flood them with drugs. Give them all the drugs they can to sell. Make sure you give them a crack cocaine with Ricky Ross down there in Los Angeles so you can further wreck the black community, because we want them all criminals. We want them savaged. And so when we get them that way, then we can conquer them, round them up, and send them to the camps. As the Iran-Contra affair said, 21 million Negroes going to be rounded up and sent to the camps. Didn't CNN tell you about that? Didn't Jesse Jackass didn't tell you about that? Or didn't Louis Farrakhan tell you about that? Oh, no, they don't want to tell you that. Oh, no, because then you black men might start waking up and seeing who your real friends are, who are white, who read the Bible and want to tell you the truth. Friends like me. But oh, no. You got to throw us all under the bus. We're all a bunch of evil, wicked white men. We all deserve to die. And with that fifth column in the country, you couple that with what's coming in south of the border, and you got the absolute makings of total, complete social breakdown, rioting, destruction in the cities, which will justify the establishment of martial law and the Pope's new right that will be a bunch led by a bunch of angry Roman Catholics, Italians and Irish and Poles, and they're going to be there leading the way, calling for the roundups of the blacks and the Hispanics and the Asians, and ultimately calling for the roundup of the Jews, exactly as was done in Roman Catholic-led, SS-led, Jesuit-designed SS. Yeah, that's what's coming here. All because of treason. The man who made Hitler chancellor was Hindenburg, the previous president. Hindenburg agreed that he should pass his mantle to Hitler as president, as chancellor. Hindenburg was a traitor. He betrayed the German people in World War I. It's like Ludendorff was another traitor. It's like Kaiser Wilhelm II was a traitor. All these traitors wrecking the Protestant Second Reich and bringing the fanatical Roman Catholic Austrian into power that's going to right all the wrongs to destroy the German people totally with help from that Jesuit-trained Joseph Goebbels out of the Rhineland. What they did in Germany, they're doing here. We've got traitors everywhere. Well, I want you to know what they're doing at the border. I have a friend who has a friend, a black friend, who's with the Border Patrol. Very intelligent black man, very decent man. He's a Christian man. And this is what this man told my friend, Brother John. He said, as he's working down there at the border, in the particular area that he's in, that's south of San Diego, he says that when these invaders are coming, they run to the Border Patrol. They're not trying to avoid them. They're running to the Border Patrol. And what the Border Patrol is doing when they get inside the country, they are giving them cell phones. Every one of them gets a cell phone. Who donated that? I'll show you who did. Some corporation tied to the Jesuits. That's who did it. They all get a cell phone. They all get $1,500 in cash. Imagine that. $1,500 in cash. So there's no record of what they spent it on. And then they give papers, court papers, ordering them to show up in 5 years. You think they're going to show up in 5 years? Of course they're not. They're getting their start with a cell phone, $1,500. They're coming in. They're meeting up with their Jesuit coadjutors. The Jesuit coadjutors getting them secured in the country. Chris Pinto did something very good on that. Showed that the Jesuit churches in northern Mexico, right south of the border, they're helping the Hispanic alien invaders come in here and get settled. That's the Jesuit order. When are you white people going to wake up and realize it's the Jesuits? You need to listen to Dr. Brian Artis. He's the only one I trust on the alternative stuff when it comes to COVID. And he's blaming it all on the Jesuits, and rightfully so. Good for you, Dr. Artis. And don't be intimidated by those Roman Catholics like Dr. Cowan. So, we have this invasion coming up through the South. They're each given a cell phone and $1,500 in cash and told to show up at court in 5 years. They're running to the Border Patrol. And when the Border Patrol takes them in, they take them over to some place where they put them in cages and some big cells with bars. They hold them there for 10 days. And then all these people, they get to know each other. They get to talk to each other, and they decide where they're going to go together, and so they can rent a house together. And here's what's done with them. They are either flown, they get a flight. They're flown to certain cities, sanctuary cities, or wherever else the Jesuits want to fly them to with their airlines. Or they're bused to the cities. And look at New York. Look how all of them here now are in New York. They're ruining the place. And the Roman Catholic New Yorkers and the Jewish New Yorkers, all of them liberals and communists and socialists for the most part, what's happening to New York? What's happening to New York is your socialist communist policies that now have come home to roost for you, and you don't like it, do you, hypocrites? You're all for Biden and all for letting them in at the border, but when they come to your backyard, that's no good, is it? You hypocrites. You leftist, liberal, white hypocrites. Malcolm X was right when he said the most vicious enemy of the black man in this country are the white leftist liberals. And I have that 7-minute tape that I offer on my website for his works and so on. He was right. Look it up. Listen to it. It's absolutely brilliant and eloquent. Another reason why they killed Malcolm, because he wasn't going along with the program. They hold them for 10 days. They can get to know each other. And they're flown or bused to the cities. And we'll make sure we're also going to send them to historic white Protestant cities, like we're going to send the Somalians up to Minnesota in the historic cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, that were Lutheran and Protestant. We got to get rid of those white Protestants, man. We got to race mix them with our savage Somalians coming down, and we're going to elect some of those people, and they're going to go to Congress, and we're going to have those wicked sinners representing the Somalians there and hating the Jews and hating the people of Israel, and yes, to bring the further judgment of God upon us. And what are you white people in Minnesota doing about it, huh? Why don't you declare your independence from this savage Washington, D.C. that shoved those savages down your throat, and by the way, by means of Barry Davis Obama, that black savage who hates you white men. Even though his mama was white, he hates you white people. Mulattoes hate white people 1,000 times more than the blacks do. That's why Bob Jones the First used to say, founder of Bob Jones University, he said, the blacker they are, the better they are. And so how do you want to destroy more white people? Just get the blacks putting out all these mulattoes, and these white women with their mulattoes and their offspring are going to be real killers against white people. That's why they're doing it. And the further destruction of white Anglo-Saxon Protestant America. Yeah. So now, they're flown into the cities. Oh, and this guy also told my friend John, Brother John, that almost none of them speak Spanish. I want to say that again. These savages, they're coming in, at least 1,000 of them a day in this particular place at south of San Diego. He said very few of them speak Spanish. What do they speak? Well, they speak Chinese or some other Asian language. They're Asians. They're young military men coming in. This is the Chinese invasion. Before the Chinese troops arrive, the fifth column arrives. The fifth column are those who appear to be civilians when in fact they're soldiers, softening up the place of invasion. That's what they're doing now. This is exactly what Jesuit Francisco Franco did to Spain when he set in his fifth column into Madrid, so that when he would besiege Madrid, it would fall due to the treason of the fifth column working for Franco in Madrid. When it fell, what, in 1939? After a 3-year civil war in Spain that killed approximately 2 million Spaniards, Roman Catholic Spaniards, I would add, because they had the guts enough to expel the Jesuits from Spain in 1932. And there was a great American sergeant there, and he helped fight in the Spanish Civil War against Franco. His name was Carter. You look him out, he was a black sergeant. He was later given the Medal of Honor posthumously after he died. His name was Carter. And he was teaching those Spanish patriots who were resisting the Jesuits and kicked the Jesuits out how to fight the Franco savage army that was being aided by Adolf Hitler and his German Nazis. So, he says the other thing is there's not only all these Asians and Chinese, but you got a lot of Africans coming in too. So we have black Africans coming in with this invasion. Lots of Asians, Chinese, Africans, and also lots of Muslims coming in. And they're a fifth column because, you see, they hate America. They call America the great Satan. Did you know that? Did you know the Muslims believe the Jews run America? They have no idea that their greatest enemy of all, the Jesuit order, runs America. And so believing that the Jews run America, why every American is an infidel worthy of death, because they're going to have a jihad, a crusade against all the infidels in America, and when they have to die because they do not embrace Muhammad and the Quran and the ungodly, wicked Quran that says God has no son. If you want a summation of the Quran, just go to Surah 9. It has all of its blasphemies right there. Surah 9. Luther called Islam the kingdom of Satan. Where's the Protestant ministers calling Islam the kingdom of Satan? And that we should resist it and not let them in this country. There's no place for Muslims in America. This whole religious liberty bit is only for men who don't persecute. That's why there's no place for Roman Catholics in historic America, because their church, their institution, calls for the persecution of people like me called heretics, and especially someone like me being an obstinate heretic. That's where Islam and Roman Catholicism are identical in their religions. One's just for people of color, Islam, and one's for white people, Roman Catholicism. But it's the same exact doctrines, which is further proof that Rome created Sunni Islam. And most assuredly controls it today. They wouldn't have built Sunni Islam and the Wahhabis with their huge oil monopoly had not they controlled King Ibn Saud in 1932 when they founded Saudi Arabia. By the way, it's the same Saudi Arabian government that cordons off the great mount there where Moses went up to the mount. When the Lord came down, he was a complete fire. Well, at the top of the mount, the real Sinai, it's black. It's burned black. This solid rock burned black. And you got to get the video and search for the real Mount Sinai. And it's not in Sinai Peninsula. It's in Arabia, as the book of Galatians says. And these two guys went up there and they found it, took pictures of it. But Sunni Islam doesn't want anybody to see it because that would be pro-Christian. That would be pro-Jew. And we can't have that. So we're going to cordon it off. And we're going to have guards up there with guns. And anybody who wants to go up there, we're going to kill them. That's Islam. That's the devil's Islam. Almost as bad as the devil's Romanism. But Islam is the child, and Romanism is the harlot, is the mama. So we see Muslims, blacks, Asians, Chinese, some Hispanics, very few. The people that are speaking aren't speaking Spanish language. And he said, at the place where he is working, 1,000 of these people come in every day. 1,000 every day. Probably more like 10,000 a week. That's 40,000 a month. That's 40,000 a year, something like that. 4 million. You like that? Every year, just keep bringing them in. While we have an economic collapse coming, while we have the total devaluation of the dollar, just spend it. Ruin the dollar, bring all these people in looking for jobs. They can't find jobs. And the people here, the citizens here, we can't find jobs. So it's a total war on us. And they're running into the arms of the Border Patrol. In Texas there, the Texas National Guard wants to stop them from coming in, and the Border Patrol allows them to come in. Isn't that nice? But what are we going to do? I'm so scared. What are we going to do? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start girding ourselves up as men. As the Lord said to Job, gird yourself up as a man, for I will require an answer from you, Job. Job, I loathe my death. I'm so sorry I was born. I wish I... Gird up thy loins, Job, because answer me if thou canst. Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job 38. The Lord kind of let him have it. He wasn't pussyfooting around with Job. He wanted Job to be a man. And hence, that's how we Christian men ought to be. 1 Corinthians 16. Be strong. Quit you like men. Have a manly bearing. And resist evil. And be the nationalist. And protect your country. And don't let it go down the drain as these heretics want to teach you. Well, the Lord's put America under judgment, so just let it happen. Anybody who tells you that's in sin. And I got some of that when I was in Bible college, too. I said to one of my professors, Rembrandt Carter, I said, well, Dr. Carter, when do we start resisting when do we resist with a sword wickedness in a country? And he answered me all smugly, when the Antichrist comes to power. And he knew very good and well that the church was not going to be around when the Antichrist came to power. Just beat you down. Don't resist. Don't call for a uniting against this wickedness out to destroy us all. Don't do that now. Why, that would be heretical. When our founding fathers, many of whom were Bible-believing men like John Witherspoon and Ezra Stiles and John Gano and others, Muhlenberg, all those guys, they knew Jefferson was an infidel, but they still united with him in the common purpose of breaking the tyranny of England. And that's what's going to have to be done here, in breaking the tyranny of District of Columbia run by the Pope through London or Brussels or wherever he wants to do it, but he's directed by the Pope. And how's that done? How are you going to stop this alien invasion? You don't clean up the swamp because the swamp is uncleanable. You don't drain the swamp. Washington District of Catholics is totally in the hands of the Jesuits of Georgetown. And as they're running all their little agents from the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and all those other little sinful organizations, Skull and Bones and Opus Dei and all those other wicked centers, the Knights of Columbus and the high-level Freemasons, all working for the Jesuits there in their little places of power, and they're going to take their orders and going to do what they're told because they're all traitors and cowards. So what's got to happen? Historically, what happens is this first. There has to be a great awakening. There has to be preaching that is fearless. The fearless preacher. He's not afraid to die. And once he's not afraid to die, he's not afraid to live. He can really live. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when he starts preaching his guts out, he starts preaching his heart out, and he cares not about his own status or money or place to stay or whatever. When he starts truly preaching, men get saved. There were the Dutch preachers out of the Netherlands, and they would come and they would preach to thousands of people in the open field. And when they would be preaching, calling them to repentance and have a godly sorrow for their sins and their offenses towards God. That when he would give them the gospel that Christ died for their sins and buried and rose again, they would cry out, oh God, save me. Yeah. A godly sorrow worketh salvation worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 or so. There was an emotional response when they realized they were horrible, wicked sinners, having offended God, that they were condemned, and apart from Jesus Christ, they had no hope. And that evidences some emotional response. I will guarantee you that. You had men in London, they used to preach on a certain place, on a step, on a podium, on a big bench, and they would preach there. And men would be saved and come to know the Lord. You had the public burnings of heretics. But nonetheless, still more preaching, more salvation, more men being saved and women being saved. So that when the time came, God raised up Queen Elizabeth. Elizabeth would protect the Protestants in England, and that would give the fuel to preserve the Reformation in England that would ultimately spread around the world. And thanks to the next great man that would come along called Oliver Cromwell, he would stop the Jesuits and the Cavaliers and King Charles I from totally destroying the Reformation. And Cromwell, leading the parliamentary army, would have victory after victory when he was sick, when his oldest son was killed at Edge Hill. I mean, all these things happened to these men of God, and they endured this for our sakes and gave us Western civilization, and we're going to walk away from that? We're just going to let it go and forget it? And watch Hogan's Heroes or some trash like that? There has to be a great awakening, my brethren, and a serious confession of sin and neglect of serving God and praying and seeking His face and praying and believing what you're going to get. And there'll be setbacks. There will be setbacks. So just plan on it. But you don't quit. You don't give up. You persist. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, fervent. You keep doing it. You keep praying about it. You keep seeking the Lord about it. You don't give up. And as God then would send a great awakening in America with the preaching of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards and John Gano and Ezra Stiles and John Witherspoon, the founder of Princeton College, the one who moved the founders in Philadelphia to sign the Declaration of Independence, the man who moved them to do that was a white Anglo-Saxon Presbyterian Calvinist named John Witherspoon. He wasn't any infidel. He wasn't any Benjamin Franklin. But Benjamin Franklin surely followed John Witherspoon. Benjamin Franklin had a godly fear of those men of God. There was a time when Franklin went to listen to George Whitefield or Jonathan Edwards in a particular city. And somebody said to him, "What are you doing here, Mr. Franklin? You don't believe any of that." And Franklin turned to him and said, "No, I don't. But he does." And so the men serving the devil, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So these devil worshipers were busy serving and helping the men of God in leading the revolution, the greatest revolution in world history, against a Protestant king, King George III, in the hands of the Jesuit order. That can happen again. But it's going to take preaching from the Reformation King James Bible. It's not happening with any other Bible. It's not happening with your NIV. It's not happening with your NASB. It's not happening with your little living Bible. It's not happening with any of those other, in today's English version. None of that's going to bring a Reformation, a great awakening. None of that. God is not in those books. He's in this one. How do I know? 400 years of history. The nation that honors this book, the Lord honors them. The nation that throws this book out in 1963 and no more Bible reading and no more prayer, then ever since then, the SAT scores have gone right down the drain and this country has gone to hell in a handbasket. The moment you relieve this magic book, this divine book from the public arena and the public schools is the day everything goes to hell in a handbasket and the Pope holds the handbasket. It's his handbasket. So in conjunction, what we need a true repentance among the Lord's people to get rid of our idols, our 501c3 churches, our anything other than King James Bibles, our abandoning heresies that are so flagrant everywhere, and false science. And once there's a true repentance, then God will lead some political leaders to lead the way in resisting this political tyranny. He can do it. He's done it many times before. He can do it again. And the thing that will be advocated is this, not cleaning up the swamp. Oh no. The thing that will be advocated is this. It's time for our state to declare its independence from Washington. From the sovereign little nation state of Washington. Been that way since March 9th, 1933. Not 1871. 1871, they just gave a government to Washington, D.C. It's in March 9th, 1933 that it became a sovereign nation state of the commander-in-chief. Yeah, that's the date nobody wants you to know about. March 9th, 1933. Anybody ever taught you about that other than me? Very few. So, in conclusion, true great awakening, true return to Christ, true return to His Word, true return to proper worship where the state's not involved and the IRS is not involved. And then for the Declaration of Independence. Declarations of Independence are white Protestant Baptist documents. The Declaration of Independence in the Netherlands in what's 1561, somewhere around there. Then we have the Declaration of Independence here in Mecklenburg County of North Carolina in 1775. 22, 28 thoroughgoing Calvinists signed it. Then we have a Declaration of Independence the following year, 1776, following that Declaration of Independence of 1775. And to this end, we devote our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. That's taken right out of the Mecklenburg Declaration. And then we have the great John Witherspoon advocating everybody sign the Declaration of Independence. And somebody said, well, I don't think we're really ready to sign. It's really not ripe. And Witherspoon said, sir, in my judgment, it's not only ripe, but rotten. And I'll tell you this, it's rotten right now. It's not ripe, it's rotten. And what are you waiting for, white men who believe the Bible and have guns? What are you waiting for? Time to advocate a Declaration of Independence in your state. And if your state doesn't do it, then your county can. But let it be known to the world, we're not participating in this sin anymore put upon us by the District of Columbia, run by the Pope and his Jesuits, and the Council on Foreign Relations, and their Freemasons, and all the other wicked sinners, and their feminazis. And maybe the Lord just might bless you. Maybe the Lord might put a dome of perfection over your county. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, the Lord will always bless obedience, and it's obedience to not participate in treason anymore. We're not going to participate in treason anymore. We're not traitors anymore. I've taken an oath to the Constitution when I went in the Air Force. I'm still under that oath to support and defend it. How about you? In conclusion, we're being invaded, and it's serious, and they're coming. And the purpose is to drive all of us white men into the new right that the Jesuits want to establish here. Read The Beast Reawakens and Neo-Catholicism by Betty Claremont. We don't have to go into the new right. We can declare independence on a county level, maintain gun ownership, and then start rounding up all these illegals, alien invaders, and send them back to wherever they came from. If they fight with us, we shoot them right in the head. Bang! Get out! You're here illegally! You're invaders! You hate us! You're gone! You're gone! You can either leave peaceably or we're going to kill you. And that's the only language you're going to understand. That's what men do when they build a country. Or when they restore it, because that's what we're seeking to do, restore it. I trust you will. Brother Eric John Phelps, thank you for tuning in today. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. Please go to my website, vaticanassassins.org. Purchase the ebook. Hopefully I'll reprint it sometime in the near future. Go to my Vatican Assassins or 24/7 World Radio. Vatican Assassins are the things I offer for your edification. Purchase my past broadcast for the last 10 years. And you can send your gifts to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. That's RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can Zelle me a few bucks if you'd like, just to Eric John Phelps, ericjohnphelps. And I'm going to give you the phone number. It's 484-238-5200. That's my cell. Why don't you give me a call sometime? I'd like to talk to you about these matters. So until we get together again, may the Lord bless you. You do His will according to His word, the AV 1611 Bible. May the Lord be with you as you do His will and obey Him. Until then, Maranatha, the Lord be with you.